Coleman at this stage of the season?
I'm disappointed for him that he can't continue to grow in the fundamentals and skills of his position. You know, he missed a significant amount of time last training camp. He missed a significant amount of time during the season. And, you know, his growth and development, he was having a terrific OTA session, and then he got hurt. You know, you'd always like to see a guy have the opportunity to improve and develop his skills. So it's disappointing, but I'm sure that he'll be back for training camp ready to go, and he's just got to get his hamstring stronger, and he's got to get himself in shape, which I'm sure he will, and he'll be ready to go.
When a guy, I mean, you mentioned last year how he had hamstring issues at Baylor, and then he had hamstring issues here last year, and then the hand, and then this. Do you start to worry that a guy like that's never going to be healthy?
Well, I'm hoping that it'll be healthy. That's why we have the best trainers and the best doctors and the best medical staff in the National Football League, and that's their job to get him healthy. And he wants to be healthy. You know, sometimes a broken hand is something that, you know, sometimes that happens. You know, my wife's had a couple of them, and I've had a couple of them, and it wasn't a result of not being healthy. It's just one of those things. But hopefully he'll be ready to go, and the way he prepared, the way he understands the offense now so much better than he did last year when he first came in. And we all know that Corey had a long way to go. He had a long way to go based on the college offense that he ran and the limited exposure he had to route adjustments and the different route trees. But he's come a long way, and he's just got to be able to stay healthy and be available. You know, we tell all the guys, you want to be a member of the Able family. You don't want to be dependable, reliable, accountable, but most of all, available. You know, that's the most important brother. And if you're available and you can practice, and you get better.
When you look at those other second-year guys besides Corey, you know, Rashard, Ricardo, Jordan, what have you seen from them? How did they come back?
Oh, gosh, I'm so excited about the development and the progress that all of those guys have made. You know, we always talk about when you come into a new program, and it's like learning a new language. And now most of them are totally fluent in the foreign language that they learned being the Cleveland Browns offense, and they've adapted dramatically. I mean, they're playing so much faster. You look at Ricardo now, and he's playing with so much more confidence. He's catching the ball really well. He's running fast. And here's a guy, once again, that was a quarterback all the way through high school. He goes to college. They make him a wide receiver, and he played very minimally really at Auburn. I think he only caught 29 balls, you know, there in his career. So he's in a tremendous developmental stage, but he's made great strides. I'm really proud of him, and Rashard is really developed, and Jordan has done a great job. They've all incrementally, you know, progressed a great deal. And now what they've got to do is continue to do that, because we haven't played against anybody yet. You know, when we put pads on and we play the real games, and we've got to be physical and do things in a stressful environment, I'm hoping that what they've done and showed to this point compared to last year will really carry over for them.
Al, do you feel cold weather was a culture shock to Corey Coleman?
You'd have to ask him that.
Did it affect his play, his practice?
It was culture shock to me. You know, I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't think so. I didn't have any sense that he didn't practice as well as he would normally practice. I think anything's an adjustment for a young kid coming from, you know, a southern climate like Miami or Texas or any place like that. But I don't think that's a factor at all. This kid has... He has tremendous physical skills. I mean, he can run, he can catch football, and he can separate. And if we can keep him healthy, and he can practice on a regular basis and stay with the offense and the systems and the schemes, because we have a very complex system, and it takes a while to get adjusted to. So when he does that, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, whether we're playing on cement or playing on grass, I'm sure he'll perform well.
You guys lost Hawk from last year to this year. Do you feel there's a gap in veteran receivers?
Well,
use another guy back
the only veteran receiver we really have, you know, is Kenny.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons our personnel people brought him in here, was the veteran presence that he had. You know, and do we miss Hawk? Absolutely. I probably talk to him, you know, once every week. He just, in fact, it's what kind of kid he is and what a special guy he is. The other day we come in the receiver meeting room, and there's sandals for everybody. He got a picture of every single coach, Bob Saunders, myself, and every player. He had the picture, had their name embossed on it, had their numbers, and just sent a thank you and good luck to our football team. That's what kind of guy he is. So is that kind of presence missed, that maturity missed? I mean, this guy has a master's degree from Columbia. You know, not any of us could probably get into Columbia, you know, and he has a master's degree from Columbia. And you miss the quality and character and value that a guy like that brings. But, you know, you'd always like to have veteran leadership. But those young guys, I tell you what, the way they're improving, and I just told them just out here, I mean, the arrow is up for every one of those guys. And now we've just got to keep going and climb to the level that we'd like to be when the season starts.
Brunell was having a really good camp last year, so the injury. Does he come back just as...
Oh, God, yeah. You know, he's fun to watch. And, you know, we watch those videos every day. And the thing that he has established is you can count on him to give you everything he has, every practice, every play. And do we always do everything right? No, never. We're all human beings. Nobody does everything right all the time. But the way he works and what he brings to the table in terms of a work ethic and performance on the practice field and the way he came back from that injury, I remember going to the hospital and spending some time with he and his mother there, and talking to the doctors, and it was a severe, severe fracture. And he's come back. You would never know that he's had any injury. He's just where he was. In fact, he's better than he was when he got hurt. So we're excited about the competition that he's providing to all those guys.
When Coleman made the catch in the second day.
I can tell this is a Corey Coleman story because there's been no other question here. No, just kidding.
Everybody else is filling it. When Coleman fell on the ball and then the defender fell on him, is that what's keeping him out now, or is it the hamstring?
You know, I'm not sure, you know, and I haven't asked the medical people about that, but any time you have any soft tissue injury, there's always precaution. And when he landed on the ball, I think that had something to do with the shoulder or something. From what I understand, you know, everything's probably okay in that regard. And I think he would tell you, and everybody would tell you, that the only reason he was kept out this last week was precautionary. And he's been going through walkthroughs with us, but we just didn't feel like it was something that we wanted to expose him to. And it wasn't worth it if he was going to miss any time, you know, in preparation for training camp or in training camp. It wouldn't be worth it. So,
does it feel like Kenny Britt and Terrell Pryor was just a even trade? I mean, you lost Terrell. And can Kenny give you what Terrell was able to give you last year?
You know, they're two way different guys. You know, Terrell, you know, I love Terrell Pryor. You know, and when any player goes, whether it's Hawkins or Pryor, in my life, you lose a son. You know, and I talk to Terrell at least once a week. There's not a week goes by without him calling Bob Saunders, our assistant receivers coach, or myself. I've got about 10 videos of him in practice at Washington. How can I get out of this route quicker? You know, working with Terrell Pryor was a delight. You know, he was a special guy. And what he accomplished last year, really, when you look at it, I mean, 1 year never playing receiver in his life and going for over 1,000 yards and 70-some catches, what he did was unprecedented. In 1 year, and I worked with, you know, Antoine Randall and other guys that have made the transition from quarterback to wide receiver, but I think history will say that what Terrell has done was phenomenal, and I would be shocked if he wasn't in the Pro Bowl next year. I think he's going to have that kind of year, and Kenny brings the size. You know, he's probably a little more physical than Terrell is, and Terrell was learning how to play the position. You know, Kenny brings an experience level to us that we don't have in that room. They're both great to work with, but Kenny's just a different kind of a player, you know. And we'll see when we get into the uniforms and playing against people how you would compare those two. But, you know, we're going to miss Terrell, and we're glad to have Kenny here. So it'd be nice to have both of them.
Yeah, right. Well, the season ended last year with Jordan Payton and PED suspension. How does he come back this year mentally from that? What's his development looking like?
Yeah, you know, and I don't know how to answer that part of it, quite frankly, because I'm not privy to all of those things that went on. I know he wasn't here for 4 weeks because of the PED suspension, but I'll say this: he, like Rashard and like Rennell, and like Ricardo, they're different guys. I mean, I told him the other day, I said, "You're a different guy." I said, "Did we get a new 84?" And this guy's running fast. He's coming out of breaks. He's catching the ball. He's a competitive guy. And I don't know anything about the other part of it. If I did, I'd tell you, but I really don't. But I know one thing. He can play in the National Football League. And he's playing at a level much greater than he did last year. I don't think it's affected him, at least. I've never really talked to him about it, quite frankly. So, you know, that would be a good question to ask him.
And it seems like
just a couple more.
The staff has complete confidence in you in developing those four guys you just mentioned. Do you feel that your responsibility this year is that's priority one?
Well, I call myself I'd like to be known as a player developer. I mean, that's what we're here for. You know, we're teachers, and I live vicariously through the players that I coach. I love to be around them. I want to see them have success. And I think what I've done in coaching since 1970 is help players achieve their level of potential. And every day I come to work, that's the most important thing to me, is helping those guys get better. You know, and I believe that we can develop them. I've always said to our personnel guys, you give me a guy that works hard and we'll make him as good as he can possibly be. And what they've given me is guys that work hard. And the evidence, you look at Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor in the classroom, on the field, what he did, and I said earlier, it's unprecedented what he did. And the thrill of being able to see him go on and hopefully even increase his effectiveness as a football player in the National Football League is something that's really exciting to me. I would love nothing better than our young players to reach their level, whatever that might be, of effectiveness. And that's my reward as a coach, is seeing players do well and progressing in their skills.
Where have you seen Ricardo make the biggest jump?
I think probably his confidence. And when I say that, he plays the game now. When you watch him, in fact, it was funny because I went back and looked at our last year's rookie mini camp, the OTAs, and the veteran camp from last year, and it's a different guy. Because when you know what to do, you can do it with speed and energy and effectiveness. When you have some experience, it's just like your business. When you have to write a story, you kind of know what you're going to write. You know the parameters you're going to put in. You get in there, bam, you do it, you get it out, and it's a good one. Whereas when you first started, it took a little thought to the organization and administration. Same thing with a player. You know, they've got to perform physically as fast as they can on the field. And if they're not quite sure the depth of the route, they're not quite sure what to do against different coverages, they come from and they're speaking a different language, the pace of the game slows down. They don't play as fast as they can. He came out, and I'll say this, there's not a guy in that room that prepares any more diligently off the field at home than Ricardo. He is magnificent in his note-taking, his transcribing, his the way he studies at night. He's really helped himself understanding what he has to do. And now he lines up in line of scrimmage. When he hears the play and sees the defense and recognizes the coverage, he goes 100 miles an hour. And he's a talented young man. So I'm thrilled that he feels really comfortable in what he's doing and really excited about, you know, when we get into the preseason and see if he can take that transition and get into real physical football and play the game when things are not what you expect it to be. But he's been terrific.